I'm Brick Ryder for the Virginia Voice. Welcome to the Writer's Voice. And today it's Ann Harmon as our writer. Ann occasionally writes for, among other things, 50 Plus. Ann, how come you got into writing? I mean, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I wonder about people who say, oh, writing is easy. You just sit down and get to your typewriter and you write. It's not true. You have dictionaries. You have thesauruses. You have all kinds of reference material. You're on the phone. You're on the email. But the satisfaction of writing to a person who was born to write trumps all that.
So you really believe born to write
really
exists?
I've been writing for so many years. All the times that I taught, I'm an ex-school marm for all ages, really. But the whole time that I've taught, I, among a few others, along with a few others, were the ones who were called on to write up this report for whatever agency or whatever accrediting association or whatever. We were always asked to write these things. Not only that, but I've written so much for just in my own journals, many letters. Right now I'm writing to an inmate at a prison. It's very, very gratifying, the questions she asks and the communication, the interaction with her. In my years of teaching overseas, I wrote for English language newspapers, so that was fun. And since I have a degree in art and have taught art also in addition to English for many years, I've sort of majored on art writing for the last few years.
I know that you do write an article here with art, which appears in 50 Plus. What other venues do you regularly write for?
I write for Richmond Parents also.
Yes.
And they're published by the same publisher, Richmond Publishing. Those are the only two right now. I have written for Richmond Family, but I'm just comfortable with Anne Marie Griffith at Richmond Publishing. So that's where I'll stay for the next little while.
A good editor helps, doesn't it?
So much.
I said good.
Anne Marie understands when I email something quickly. She understands immediately. And so have the past editors at Richmond Publishing also. I've had a good relationship with those people.
What sparks a person to say, I want my creativity to be in words rather than pictures or paint or sculpture? I mean, to me, writing is an equal art to those. You agree?
I definitely agree. I can't tell you what sparks it, whether it's innate or whether it's upbringing, environmental.
Can it be learned?
I think a lot of it can be learned because I've seen students improve quite a bit in the course of even a semester. Once upon a time, not too many years ago, I was teaching in a technical college, not the same as a community college. Mm-hmm. Technical college is the people in a technical college, or at least my students, were older, some almost as old as I was at the time. They know calculus and trigonometry easily, almost by nature, but they can't spell D-O-G-N-C-A-T. So teaching them English was a challenge, but such a pleasant, good, satisfying experience. I had one man in there one year, I'll never forget him. He couldn't write a sentence. And this is a 40-some, probably close to 50-year-old man. He couldn't write a sentence. He couldn't get the words right. He couldn't get the punctuation right. And this is not my teaching, this is his enthusiasm that I'm crediting. Before the semester was over, he and I both were so proud of his progress. And this is very satisfying. But and that's the answer to your question, can it be learned? Now, whether he would ever become a serious writer or a communicator in his line of work, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But he became a much better communicator by learning.
And he then had the faculty to be able to use that wherever he wanted to within his life.
He did, indeed. It was beautiful.
When you write for the Herewith Art, do you get to determine the content of that? I mean, is it your idea that sparks that particular issue, or is that directed by the newspaper?
No, I get to pick those out.
That's totally you.
Yes, and Anne Marie has never turned one down. So,
what piques your interest the most?
Well, I want to see. I know a lot of the artists, especially in the Main Street series, those galleries over there. And I just like a very creative one. I like one that's not trying to produce some gimmick for the new public to appreciate. But I do like creativity and originality rather than just copies of what's already been done for several hundred years. So those I choose. And I wrote on the Picasso, of course, and just the big things. Another big, big name artist is coming to not a Main Street gallery, but a Broad Street gallery in August, and that's Judy Rivka. She's very avant-garde, but that will be fun, too.
With the rebirth, if you will, of the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, it seems to me that you are all of a sudden in the middle of a tremendously growing garden. I mean, what has happened at that facility has been just tremendous for the art world, and I think we're finally getting some recognition for it, too, nationally and internationally.
I think so, too. I agree with you. It's state of the art.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I was there yesterday in the library.
How about that library? What a change.
It's so neat. I described what I wanted, and the two young women went in their inner sanctum and brought out exactly what I needed. It was wonderful. And the museum itself, of course, all the galleries.
Oh yes.
And I agree with you that more people are waking up to the art scene in Richmond. For example, I went to the Picasso show three times, and often, very, very often, in fact, probably daily, school buses and great groups of people came. So that in itself probably will make people more aware of what's available.
I think the national publicity that we have received has yet to really had its effect on that museum, but I think we'll be seeing some record-setting crowds there just because of the magnificence of that facility.
It is. It's wonderful, and I hope you're right, and I think you're right.
Tell me about the art scene, and I'll specify on this one, the downtown. It's really turning around, but it seems to me it's a little slow growing. Is that fair?
Well, probably, but now there are two, as I see it, there are actually three main downtown art scenes. One is Broad Street, and that's the first Friday. They have a big, big celebration every first Friday, and that's good. All the bars and all the restaurants, et cetera, all those are open, and the art galleries along there, too, of which Art 6 is wonderful. So is Ghost Print. Ghost Print has some good things. And then there's Main Street. Main Street has 10 very active art galleries. They range from the audacious, quirky things, and Quirk is the name of a gallery on Broad Street, but Artemis Gallery is on Main, and it is just as quirky, as more so. But it's a lot of fun. As I said in one article, you can't hide good craftsmanship, and so good application of methods and techniques and understandings of art theory and so on. And then, that's Main Street, and then Hull Street, south of the river, has a huge, huge complex of probably in old warehouse buildings. I don't know what those buildings were originally, but I imagine they were just derelict, probably. But many, many artists have studios and sales exhibition places over there. So, yes, the downtown on First Friday, either on Main or Broad or Hull Street, is just great to see that many people interested in coming out and enjoying the art scene in Richmond.
How much influence from VCU?
Much, because the Anderson Gallery at VCU always has, certainly every time I've ever been, has something interesting. A lot of times very avant-garde, a lot of times kinetic things, moving, electronic artwork. And so that's an encouragement and inspiration to young artists.
And then contrast that with the University of Richmond.
University of Richmond has some wonderful, wonderful exhibitions. Some very neat ones. They're being a little farther from the center of all the activity. I guess we don't pay them enough attention, but they have some excellent. In a permanent collection on that main hall, mm-hmm. and in the two galleries that they have. One is supposed to be a student gallery, but the work in there is excellent.
What's your vision for the next 10 years for art in Richmond?
Oh, my. Well, I think there'll be more. I think more of the... I haven't thought about this enough. I think more of the old spaces, the wonderful old spaces on Broad Street and Main, both will be occupied with the restaurants that support the art walks and the art seekers and galleries, too. So, and there'll have to be more diversity, probably, in the art, mm-hmm. in the galleries. But I certainly don't see it slowing down. And corporate purchases are excellent. I mean, the big law firms buy from Page Bond and Reynolds Gallery and a dozen others. So it's pretty neat, really.
What about the other kinds? I mean, when I say art, I think the thing that first comes to my mind, you know, is a painting up on a wall. But art's broader than that, isn't it?
Much broader. Last night I was at Page Bond Gallery on Main, and there was this big, a meter each way, three-dimensional work made out of little sticks and little tiny splintery type boards, very thin, that cast shadows all over. Very, very little paint in there, mostly natural wood color, and it cast shadows all over the wall behind it, on the floor. The pieces cast shadows on each other. If you changed your own position, you could see the tunnels through. Really, really neat. So a lot of three-dimensional work. Mm-hmm. And, of course, pottery is big. The Visual Arts Art Center used to be the hand workshop.
Right.
Pottery and jewelry making and so much there. Painting, too. But, yes, it is a much broader. The whole concept is much broader than just painting.
And Richmond, I believe, is becoming much more acceptable to art. Is maybe I'm saying it backwards. Maybe art is becoming more acceptable to Richmond. But it does seem to be, generating more press, and obviously withstanding the Picasso, which is, you know, way out of the ordinary. But even after the Picasso exhibit was here, the numbers have continued to stay up at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. And I know the other exhibit areas have not only benefited from that tremendous influx of people into Richmond to see what was happening in the art area. That seems to me that we may be in kind of a short-term renaissance here to get it going even better.
I hope so, and I think you're probably right, and I hope it'll be long-term instead of short-term. I know some good art teachers in the schools, and if you walk through Carytown, and I don't know where else in town, but probably other places too, in, March or April, every single store and shop will have student artwork up. And just observing that and appreciating it is just a good thing, and I think it'll go on.
That's the area. Now tell me about changing that into the written word and getting it published. That has to be a tremendous process in itself.
Well, it is, but your love of it takes you there. So just talking to the artists and having a good relationship with artists and the gallery owners, the gallery managers, has been a neat thing in my own life and in my own writing. Eldridge Bagley, the one you have right there, is so neat. Loves the rural life, the ancestry from that part of his own world down there. Just a super neat person, and his family, and every opening that BJ Cosin has for him is well attended. He sells things before they go on exhibition. Uptown Gallery, put in a plug for Uptown Gallery. There is such a variety there, and I know a lot of the artists there, from very traditional things to very young people and older people too, painting very modern, contemporary things. It's really, really an inspiration to get to know them.
From your experience as being an artist yourself, being a writer about art, give me a 5-year from now picture of Richmond, Virginia's change.
Oh, all right. Oh, my. All right. I'll try this. More, as I said, more of the old warehouse spaces on Broad and Main, and I suppose, I'm not as familiar with south of the river, but I imagine there are even more over there. More art produced and sold and enjoyed in all three of those focuses. I hope more appreciation in the schools. I was talking to a man by email who said that this is a struggle for the budget in schools is still a big thing. Mm. And there's, I'm afraid, resentment when the athletic department gets all new uniforms, et cetera, et cetera, and the art and music program do not get what they need. But I guess they'll cope with that and do what they can to keep it up, because the art teachers themselves are dedicated, and probably the music teachers too. So.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I do think there'll be more, and more production, and more sales, just more enjoyment and more appreciation. And I hope, one reason that I told the editor when I first started doing the Here With Art columns, and that was my choice for a name, I put several before her and she helped me choose. One reason for doing that was to get 50-plus people interested. 50-plus people have, if your nest is empty and your last ones are in college, or even if they're in high school, they're gone a lot. So you have Friday nights and you have Saturday afternoons and you can go see art and you can buy something every now and then. So that's what I think, that more people will be interested, both young and old.
We've been speaking with Ann Harmon. She writes a column called Here With Art, which appears in 50 Plus magazine. I'm Brick Ryder for the Virginia Voice.